This Choircast podcast is brought to you by Ideas Digest.
In a world dominated by fake news and cancel culture.
Sounding a little bit, you know, right-wing conservative, fake news, cancel culture. So okay. Let's reframe.
Fair. In a world dominated by intolerance, bigotry, and ignorance, can we...
I think that might be going too far, left-wing, progressive. Just keep going.
All right. The Ideas Digest podcast is all about exploring different viewpoints and challenging your own beliefs. In each episode, we flip a coin to determine which side of a controversial societal issue we will debate. We then compete to persuade someone to change their mind.
Insert montage here.
If it lands on heads...
You shouldn't be a fan of Jordan Peterson.
Trump is not guilty.
Coin flip. Tails. And I'm pro-porn, baby.
Let me take someone who wants to have kids and tell them why this is a bad idea.
Yeah. And then here comes along Andrew Tate.
Escape your echo chamber each week at Ideas Digest, everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time for another round of Snarky Faith with your host, Stuart Deloney. This is a space where we irreverently wrestle through life, culture, and spirituality, all with our heads in the clouds, our tongues in our cheeks, our hearts in our sleeves, and our feet on the ground. At Snarky Faith, the questions or even the answers are never the point. It's all about the conversation. So here's your host, Stuart Deloney.
Well, welcome to Snarky Faith, the perfect place if you've had enough of the insanity of Christianity. And if you can handle your conversations about faith with copious amounts of
sarcasm
and also a bit of this, then welcome home. I'm glad you're here. Otherwise, you have been warned. Well, welcome to the show. Have you missed me? I've missed you. And what I wanted to do with today's show is to start out with a little bit of confessing and to explain a bit why there has been a long absence from my voice here on Snarky Faith. So let me go ahead and unpack a little bit of where I've been, where I'm at. And my hopes of doing this isn't simply just to get this off my chest. It's really something that I'm hoping that you have been struggling with too, in some regard, existentially, okay? So why have I been silent for the past few months? Well, that is a complicated answer, and it's one I actually want to be able to unpack with you. Let's start large on the funnel here. The world is kind of crazy right now. Not right now, for the past while, it feels like the world is insane. The world is on fire. We've got wars in other countries. We've got wars within our country going on that are wanting to move the U.S. backwards. And they continue to do that. And for me, it's been something that I found incredibly, incredibly just depressing. Absolutely just depressing of what is happening around us. And thank God I go to therapy to give me someone to process out a lot of the junk that's been going on within me. And my therapist had told me, this is a month or two ago, and I've been talking to him about how I just feel stuck. I feel frozen when I want to open my mouth and begin to record because I don't feel like I have anything positive to add into this conversation when the world is crazy and on fire. And as we begin to dig back some of the layers of what was going on within my head, the things that were keeping me quiet and silent, my therapist tells me, he's like, you know, this happens to people in sports a lot. He's like, it's called the yips. You've got the yips. And walking through that, if you don't know what the yips are in sports and whatnot, it's somehow when you get something in your head that you can't get past. And it messes with your sporting performance, your ability to be able to show up and do what you need to do. And I've really had that. The world has totally just been messing with me and my anxiety. And on top of all of this, I think this is also lending itself into another arena of my faith deconstruction process that I hadn't really engaged with. And that's just the glory of deconstructing is the fact that I don't think you're ever done. I think as you begin to let go of things that are not you, that you may have had as part of your past, to be able to move forward, you reassess the things that you value and what you believe and where you're walking towards. And that whole process of deconstruction is something that it really requires you to figure out which part of these are me and which part of these things that I get growing up with my background being conservative Christianity, growing up around it, and how that framed my worldview. And I was starting to get it. And then we had a rainstorm. We've had a lot of torrential rains here in the area of North Carolina over the past few months. And during one of those torrential downpours, we'd had this. It'd been for several days. We had a huge 100-foot tree in our backyard just come crashing down. Now, thankfully, it missed my car by about 2 feet. And it's this huge old oak tree in our backyard that is just laying on its side. And I've been slowly going through the process of cutting it up because it's a large tree to be able to give away firewood to my neighbors. And part of the process as I'm beginning to go through this tree to work it down is the root ball. So this whole tree is laying on its side and there's this huge, huge ball of roots and dirt and rocks that are just mangled up and gnarled within this. And one of the reasons when I was looking into this, especially dealing with large trees, I want to make sure that I get most of that root ball cleaned off and cut up. Otherwise, as I begin to cut down the tree, as it gets towards the base, it'll just flip back into the hole, right? So I brought out my power washer, I'm power washing off this thing, and then my power washer breaks. So then what I'm beginning to do is just taking this with a garden hose, washing off all of this stuff that is mangled and gnarled up in these roots. There's huge, huge rocks that I'm simply just trying to wash and to get out. And as I begin to think about this, as I'm out here doing this for hours in my backyard, it began to dawn on me that this also was very much kind of like my process of deconstruction, especially where I'm at right now. And what I was beginning to see is that there's the tree, there's the roots, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's caught up in it that are not the tree and not the roots. But if you look at it really easily, you're just going to assume it's all part of the same thing. And I guess really this is one of the things that brought me to my period of selective mutism, at least on the podcast, because I began to see that this wasn't me. This wasn't me. This wasn't me. This wasn't me. From my upbringing, from me understanding religion and God and spirituality. And I really began to kind of pull back and just ask those questions. So really, really, really at my core, what is me? And it led me to a place where I felt that my voice was insignificant. My voice didn't really matter to really call back against the storm of insanity that's kind of happening in our country right now. And I felt like I was just adding to the noise. As I began to unpack a lot of that further, part of my deconstruction process has also been helping me learn to manage and mitigate my anxiety. And I was realizing that from working in ministry so many years, I had used my anxiety as a fuel to get stuff done, to be able to push through and just get stuff done. And once you begin to let go of those things and separate those things, and that anxiety, it begins to dissipate and doesn't have the prominent role anymore, it becomes a really odd thing. This thing that was always the thing that pushed me to move forward out of anxiety wasn't there. And as I unpacked a lot of this further, I began to see that so much of that was just about me trying to be something. Like that anxiety was a great tool to help me be successful in ministry, but it is a terrible tool for my soul, my emotions, and my mind. And so without that, I began to kind of just feel like an imposter. I don't have it. I don't have that I don't have that same anger that I used to have. I really came to a place where I was at in more of a position of calm, but at the same time, I felt like my voice didn't matter anymore. And as we began to dig deeper into all of this, I've shared this a while back, but I've been in also a weird brain space because we found out it was a year and a half ago that my father has like advanced stage Alzheimer's. And being able to walk in that process towards your father dying is another weird one. And I'm a person that likes to preach and hopefully walk through things like meditation and contemplation, checking in with your soul, understanding where you're at, and evaluating those things. And I began, and I didn't realize this at first, I didn't realize that I had felt a lot of guilt about not grieving over my father. And that was adding to it as well. I had a hard time wrestling through this idea of grief and what it needs to look like. And I found myself over the past few months had watched two shows, which I both really enjoyed. The first one was Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. It's on Netflix. And it's going to sound like a fun one here, but it's a story about a guy whose wife has died, and he's just trying to figure out through his grief how to move on in life. And it's funny, it's heartbreaking, it's anything that you can imagine coming from the mind of Ricky Gervais. Take him or leave him, I like him, not everybody does. And then I'd also watch the show that's on Apple TV called Shrinking. And similar situation, this is about psychiatrists, but one of them is about a psychiatrist that is learning to move on after the death of his wife. And I began to kind of ponder in my head, I was like, why am I gravitating to these? Why are these resonating deeply within me? And I had this thought, and it was really much more of a breakthrough for myself, was that when I was watching the process of other people grieve, I began to realize the huge ingredient behind grief in this is, well, first of all, is of course loss. But the second one is that when these people are going through a deep and traumatic grief, it's because they've had a profound loss of a relationship. And as that began to dawn on me was that, oh yes, this was, people grieve because they miss this loving, caring relationship that they had that was part of their life. Now, I've never really had that with my father. Now, my father, very conservative, Southern Baptist, and what I began to see over this is that I wasn't grieving. And then I had to really admit to myself that it was okay that I wasn't grieving, because I came to the realization that I feel like I've been grieving that archetype of a relationship most of my life in regards to my father. My father really and I were never really that close. He was a hard person to be around. And I began to see that, well, I have been doing my grieving. And I'm not really a phony about this grief thing. It's because I've done the work and I've worked it out. But I didn't realize that. And having that huge kind of epiphany in my head, it really helped me to be able to see the situation very, very, very differently. And what me dealing with grief, or I guess my past grief, and jiggering it into context with my current state, where I'm at, I began to see things differently. I began to see that, and this sounds silly, but that those relationships that are life-giving in my life are essential and are wonderful, and someday will be honored by grief if there is ever a loss in those. And those are the situations where that grief is earned, where that grief is felt deeply. And I had to be able to come to the place where I was able to let myself off the hook of not feeling bad that my father is dying. Not feeling bad, because I know in my life I've tried and I've spoken honestly with him and I've been myself around him and I have challenged him to have a better relationship. And I did my part. And sometimes in life, I think we have to be okay with saying, I've done my part. And because I've done my part, that's all I can do. I'm only responsible for what I have to do that's in front of me. And that kind of really began to open me up again, oddly enough. Dealing with this issue of grief is really kind of what brought me back to here, to my voice, to being in this place. Because I think that when I originally started this show was always about pushing back against consumer Christianity, conservative Christianity, all the BS and faith that Christianity has become today. And regardless, if I'm one small voice, I realize that I have to continue to do and handle what's in front of me. And I don't know if any of this will help you, because I can get overwhelmed with the news. I can get overwhelmed with whatever the Supreme Court has done recently, or what conservative Christians are trying to push, or how hateful people are being, or how the LGBTQ plus community is finding new ways that they are being marginalized by conservatives. And it can be incredibly disheartening, especially when you're watching people's rights being taken away, where you're seeing people actively marginalized in the name of Jesus as well. And I just realize that I can only do the work that's in front of me. And I need to do it because it's right. And I need to keep speaking because it's what I have. And it is what's right in front of me and what needs to happen. And I mention all of this simply because, one, you need to know why I've been silent. And it's not because I've been doing better things. No. I've been doing a lot of internal work. But I also say this to encourage you, that your voice matters, that your actions matter, that what you do to the people that you live around, that you interact with in your community, those things matter. And the odd thing that I've watched, and this has been coming on for a long time, but I've begun to watch just the absolute weaponization of the Bible and of Christianity, and how it has turned itself into something that looks zero, that looks nothing like the teachings of Jesus. And that still pisses me off. And it pisses me off that people use the Bible, that people use the words of Jesus to ostracize, to marginalize, to dehumanize, to give certain people the idea that they have the right to speak hate to others. And it's overwhelming at times, but this is a good and worthy fight. Christ called us to lean in and do the good work that we have in front of us. Christ called us to lean in and be there for the least of these, for those that are being persecuted and marginalized. These are the times that we are called to stand up and do things and to not get drowned out in the tsunami of insanity. Because we can't lose hope. And because we need to keep moving forward. And I think in all of this, I wanted to kind of end a bit of this part of the conversation with some food for thought from Ricky Gervais, nonetheless. And for those that may or may not know, Ricky Gervais is a avowed atheist. He's very against religion. But I think there's common ground to all of this, because I think I'm very much against religion and what it does to people. And I love the simplicity, and I'll play this audio clip from a scene in it where they're talking about what matters. And I think the one thing that we've lost when engaging people is the ability to be kind, to be
be nice, to be merciful and graceful and compassionate. And sometimes, when the world is insane, it's our call to be kind. It's our call to be nice. Now, it's also our call to fight for those, but I think we need to be looking around to our communities to see who continues to get beat down by this empire of conservatism. And I think it's our place to get back to our spiritual roots of loving our neighbors, of loving our enemies, and for sticking up and fighting for those who don't have a voice. So let me share this with you, and then I'll unpack this in the end.
Need some advice. I wanted to kill myself. And when I couldn't or hadn't, I thought, okay, if I'm gonna do this carrying on living thing, it's gonna be on my terms, I'm gonna do what I want, and I've always got suicide to fall back on.
Got to have a backup.
Exactly. But it didn't go to plan. At first I thought it was like a superpower. I can do anything. Who cares? What's the worst that can happen? Nothing can hurt me, because I can always kill myself, you know? But then I realized you can't not care about things you actually care about. You can't fool yourself. And it was something you said, that it's not all about me. And even though I'm in pain, it's worth sticking around to maybe make my little corner of the world a slightly better place.
That's all there is. Happiness is amazing. It's so amazing, it doesn't matter if it's yours or not. There's that lovely thing. A society grows great when old men plant trees, the shade of which they know they will never sit in. Good people do things for other people. That's it, the end.
That's it. That's the end. So in this time where we're living in a world that is post-Roe, that we see the rise of bigotry and misogyny across the American landscape, we continue to see all of that spurred by people that claim to follow Jesus. And it can be very disconcerting. But just remember, do the next good thing that's in front of you and be kind.
All right, well, enough of all of this touchy-feely WWJD stuff. You tuned into a show called Snarky Faith. You've gotten the faith, but where the hell's the snark, Stuart? You may be asking yourself that question. Where is it?
Well, you came to the right place. Because yes, we've had our Devo time, our going deep in spiritual time. And now it's time for the choicest cuts in Christian nuts. That's right. It's the Christian crazy of the week. We got plenty of crazy to go, so let's get going.
If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Lord have mercy. The Lord is my shepherd. He know what I want.
Well, it's been a few weeks since we've delved into the snark dome of snarkiness here. And, you know, I'm kind of feeling a little bit like I got to kind of, you know, kick off the dust, knock off the rust, and get into this. What would put me in the mood for this?
Paul never forgave him. He said, if I ever see Christ again, he's a dead man.
Oh, that's a good start, but I need something more.
Nasty, snarky faith.
I think I'm ready for the Christian crazy, but maybe one final push. Is there anyone else out there with something, you know, crazy?
You know, here's what I predict. Donald Trump is like the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, And brother, it's starting to rain. And this is one monkey that's going to fight harder than you've ever seen a monkey fight.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. My one question is, like, how many monkey fights? How many monkey fights has Mike Huckabee been watching? Because I don't know. Is anybody else really versed in monkey fighting out there? I don't know. Dogs or cockfighting? It's not really my realm. But I will note, are you just referring to the Orange Messiah as an orangutan? It kind of does look similar. All right. All right. We've achieved full snark power, and here we go. I talked earlier in the show about the hateful response that Christianity has had towards the LGBTQ, towards the trans community, and guess what? Guess what? Robin Bullock's got some thoughts on trans people. And I know when you hear the name Robin Bullock, you say, stupid idiot. And I say, well, you don't know how stupid this idiot can truly be.
Do you realize that it's, you can identify as a moose? You do know that, right? They couldn't argue with you now. I had a man tell me the other day, he said, I think I'm going to go and identify as a 65-year-old man so I can draw Medicaid. He said, I'm going to fill out, he said, I ought to fill out the thing, send it in, and when they turn me down, sue them because I said, I identify with a 65-year-old man. Identify as a 65, you know, they have to give it to you. You can identify as an Apache attack helicopter until you try to mate with it.
Now, hold a damn second. I'm going to say I have made sweet, sweet loving to several helicopters, Apache and otherwise, and those have been some of the most wonderful evenings, brunches, and afternoon delights I have ever experienced in my entire existence on this plane that we call life. Robin Bullock! You're an idiot. And this is the type of moronic fodder that these conservatives and crackpots are pushing. I mean, it's one thing to be pushing out conspiracy theories, but, did you ever ask yourself, what if someone in the Christian crazy is lying? Oh, I know they lie quite a bit, but let's look to this one. Because this is a statement earlier this year from presidential hopeful and Florida bigot, Ron DeSantis. And Ron claims that his prayers push back a certain hurricane. That's interesting. That's fascinating because I brought the receipts. So let's listen to Ron and then let's listen to who really pushed that hurricane away.
We visited the biblical heartland of Judea and Samaria. We even held a public event at Ariel University. We brought the delegation for prayer at the Western Wall. The only thing I can tell you is my prayer in 2019 was that we would be spared the upcoming hurricane season in the state of Florida. And we were in a situation as we got in the height of hurricane season. You had a monstrous hurricane barreling east or barreling west towards the Florida Peninsula, Hurricane Dorian. It was a Category 5, a very strong Category 5, and it was headed basically going to ram right into our state. Well, and at that time when it was on that track, people were saying, well, God must not be listening to the governor because we may be getting rammed here. Well, I can tell you the storm was heading our way. It slowed down, it turned all the way 90 degrees and went north and never impacted our coast. And so I'm chalking it up to the prayer I put in the Western Wall. People can offer whatever rationale they want.
Oh yeah, Meatball Ron, you're wanting us to offer some rationale about the situation. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say you're a liar. You know why? Because we know that Cat Care, Prophetess Cat Care, is the one who handled that friggin' hurricane. So stop trying to stand on this grifter's coattails because I think you need to get back to fingering pudding instead of trying to pray and prophesy. Don't believe me? Well, here's Cat Care, doing the actual work of a real prophet during a hurricane. Boom!
So right now, at this moment, we take authority over Dorian that has no right off the coast of this state or anywhere. And we hit that storm to the east right now. And I'm going to do it three times. We hit it to the east. We hit it to the east and command it. You go to the east, out away from land. We declare you would do no destruction in any way. We won't tolerate it.
Oof. Every time she kept talking about hitting it, it made me think of Apache helicopters. Meow.
Also, don't tell anybody that Hurricane Dorian killed 74 people in the U.S.
So what's up with these prayers? Pretty sure this is breaking news right now, and we are bringing up the heat on Meatball Ron DeSantis. Tiny D! I know he can't stand this heat, but can you stand the heat? Can you stand the heat of what's going on as our planet is warming up? Huh? Do you think of that? Can you handle it? Because apparently, climate change is really just God's calling to wake us up to scripture, says Hank Kuhneman. Oh, he is the master of BS. Hank, what you got to tell us there, buddy?
There will be temperatures that will reach for a season in the hundreds, and it will be as though it would be 103. And you will say, what is this? And God says, do you not know Psalm 103, forget not my benefits? And it will be 106 and 107. God says, do you not understand that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever? And then they will say, but God, what is this about 105? And God says, do you know that I led the people out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble as I delivered a nation? And then they will say, what is this that has reached 118? And God says, it is a sign. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the Lord who comes to save. And I have come to save this nation at this time.
Oh, that sounds pretty reasonable until you start to think of this idea. My first point here, when the Psalms were written, they didn't have chapter and verse numberings. So there's that. Secondly, let's just kind of tease this out just a bit. How many psalms are there? Well, I would tell you, there's 150 psalms. Let's try to think about, like, what kind of temperatures can humans sustain? Well, really, the maximum temperature a human can sustain for an extended period of time is 108. So if God's wanting to use climate change to remind us to read the book of Psalms, then there's going to be a lot of crispy Christians out there. Sounds like a good time for a spiritual barbecue. Nom nom. Yum yum. Well, that's all we got for the Christian Crazy this week, but I wasn't going to leave you ultimately empty-handed. This is kind of like, you know, the gift bag you get when you leave a birthday party. Maybe it's got a whistle. Maybe it's got some stickers. Maybe it's got some gum or candy. Woohoo! So here is your goodie bag as we finish out the show. Your Christian Cringe of the Week. Oh, and yes, this is a long one. So get ready. Because this is so cringy. It's so cringy. It makes me so excited to bring it to you. Yes. I'm a sick man. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hop in on your Christian Cringe of the Week.
Christian Cringe.
No!
So this Christian cringe is something that's a little bit different than what we've done before. Usually I'm using sound bites from crazy prophets or pastors, but this was sent to me by a friend of mine, and at first I was like, do I not mention this church's name? And then I had to tell myself, but Stuart, this
this church named One Missoula Church in Missoula, Montana, had posted this for a youth ministry pastor job. Okay? And how could a job description be cringy, you may be asking yourself. And I'm just saying, wait. So first of all, the title of this job is not like youth pastor or youth director. No, it's Youth Ministry Dragon. Yes, Youth Ministry Dragon. And here is the job description. And expect to cringe your way through this. So you've been warned. Buckle up. Here we go. Job description. Are you addicted to being awesome? Have you already led all the middle and high school students in your current location to a sold-out hardcore devotion to King Jesus? Are you an excuse-destroying, Bible-devouring, youth-loving, prayer-praying, Jesus-worshipping, awesome warrior beast monster? If yes, then there's a near 100% chance that the Lord is calling you to this place. He would love to live if he were here. Oh, if he were ever inclined to relocate from his heavenly throne to Missoula, Montana. So if Jesus were to come back, that's where he would be, in Missoula, Montana. All right, continuing. The epic brand newish startup, One Missoula Church, is looking for a mission-minded, discipleship-oriented middle and high school teacher who smashes down obstacles and loathes grumbling and complaining. No needy crybaby divas allowed. And that's in all caps. If you spend a lot of time explaining to people why you don't get things done, you're almost definitely not the golden child chosen one. And frankly, you may want to transition to a career in politics. Yeah, yeah. They're bringing the jokes, too. Continuing, we can pay you a part-time salary for your mad skills. Oh, that sounds like a youth pastor. Okay. We can pay you part-time salary for your mad skills while we discuss a more permanent option and test you to see if you're legit. Maybe even too legit. Come on. Too legit? Not to quit? Okay. But maybe too legit. Okay. So then we get to this. It keeps going. Let's be clear. This is the elite special forces version of church planting. Our planting pastor, Bradzilla the Hun, again, I'm not making this up, left his homeland, parents, and beloved Florida Gators to move his family across the country 2 years ago and serve in bivocationally in retail stores while gathering a launch team. Our executive pastor, the bearded Josh, resigned from his successful position with a Fortune 200 company. What, not a Fortune 500? Okay. To relocate across the country and to come serve bivocationally here. Our digital missionary, Drew Baca. Oh, I wonder if these are the names his mother gave him. Turned down countless full-time worship pastor positions to allow Jesus to build his kingdom through him here in Zoo. I'm sorry, I got some Drew Baca in my mouth. Continuing on, our lead parent partner, the Medj, walked away from a sterling nursing career as the best lactation consultant in the universe to help parents discipline their young mini-me's into hardcore warrior beast monster followers of Jesus. All of this to say that if you sign up for this, you will be expected to have the same missional whatever it takes spirit and mindset. That really just means you're not getting paid and we're going to work you 60 hours a week. That's not in it, but that's really what they mean there. That means unless you are a student, you are going to need to work bivocationally or fundraise half your salary or live off the inheritance grandma left you when she passed. If you are looking for an incredible missions plant opportunity to die to yourself, rip Satan's head off and light up darkness with the gospel of the kingdom, let's talk. If you're looking for a paycheck and a spotlight, your position will soon be part of an outplacement program. It's probably best for you to keep on keeping on elsewhere. Oh! Yes. All right. Then further down on that list, what we're going to have here too, they just can't stop. They just can't stop. They got to keep going. So in finishing this up, they summarize, our ideal candidate would be beloved by all middle school and high school students to ever live, be able to preach, teach, disciple, counsel, and apologize with apologetics, that is. They're so witty. This person also needs to be wicked awesome with all manners of social media, constantly having to repent of a condescending attitude towards excuse-making whiners. They need to be pretty techie.
They also need to be musical, like real instruments, drums, guitar, bass, drums, keys, drums, etc. Not the oboe or whatever. You also need to be a recruiting and discipleship Picasso. And they want to make sure that you were confused by and maybe even hostile towards skinny jeans, or at least be able to handle the confusion of your peers. Organized, punctual, driven, and destroyer of all excuses. Addicted to being the best and the most humble person ever. And you need to be able to juggle. You need to be able to juggle because what they're asking here for a job that they're only going to pay you part-time for is to do this. So you're going to do all middle school, high school ministry, okay? They also want you on the worship band. They want you doing social media. They want someone that's techie, which also means you're going to be doing other stuff behind the scenes. Also recruiting a discipleship. Yeah. And you just keep working. This place sounds amazing. And that is your Christian cringe of the week. Well, that's all I've got this week. And before I send you off, just a reminder to share the show, subscribe, and give Snarky Faith a review over on Apple Podcasts. It helps to get the word out to our new listeners. And if you want to reach out to me directly, hit me up at Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, at snarkyfaith.com. Thank you so much for being a part of the show week after week. I appreciate you all. Now, as I release you all into this wild, wide world, I send you out with the holiest amount of grace and peace and snark. I'm out of here. Peace. Be with you.
This Choircast podcast episode is brought to you by the Messy Spirituality Podcast. Hey, this is Jason Elam. Join Lola Robbins, Kyle Butler, and me for the Messy Spirituality Podcast, where we try to empower your spiritual evolution with honest conversation about how to be a better human, taking a critical look at toxic Bible stories, and look behind the headlines for growth opportunities underlying current events. Hey, it's a bisexual hairstylist who escaped a cult, a black mystic, and a recovering Southern Baptist preacher. What could possibly go wrong? Check out the Messy Spirituality Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.